Live from the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, this is the Bible Answer Man with Hank Hanegraaff. To join us on the air, just dial toll-free 1-888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. To find out more about the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, just log on to our website at www.equip.org. Now, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And we begin the broadcast today with an email. This was a special email that I read about an hour ago as I was autographing books. And in particular, I was autographing a Legacy Study Bible. And I read this note, "Please dedicate this Bible," and then the name. The person that was mentioned was disowned by her family for converting from Hinduism to Christianity. But now she's on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's wonderful to see and feel God's Spirit, the email says, working through her. She's a big fan of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, and she's going to be so excited to get the Legacy Study Bible. Plus, she'll get the proper tools to mine the Bible for all its wealth. It really means a lot to me that you would personalize the Legacy Study Bible for this individual. Your friend for eternity, signed Ron. And I thought I'd mention that this is quite a conversion when you think about it, from Hinduism to Christianity. Although Hindus are multifaceted rather than monolithic, they do have some tenets in common. They suppose that ultimate reality is an impersonal oneness that transcends all distinctions, including personal distinctions. Put another way, all of reality is a continuum. It's a simplified whole. And as such, in Hinduism, there's no distinction between morals and mice. Not only so, but Hindus hold that human beings in concert with the rest of the universe are a continuous extension of Brahman, and therefore our illusory individuated selves are one with the impersonal cosmic consciousness of the universe. In the Hindu scriptures, you have this teaching that the goal of humanity is liberation from an endless cycle of death and reincarnation. And when that liberation is attained, we realize that our individual selves are an illusion, that all is actually one. And until you have that enlightenment, the law of karma dictates that our deeds in previous lives determine whether we're reborn as men or monkeys, as women or wasps. So while the Hindu scriptures tout the hell of reincarnation, the Holy Scripture, as communicated in the Legacy Study Bible, teaches the hope of resurrection. That makes all the difference in the world. When you convert from Hinduism to Christianity, you now no longer believe that the soul endlessly returns dressed up in other bodies, but you believe that the body one day will be resurrected immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. So when you die, there's an unnatural rending between body and soul, and when you're resurrected, the body and soul are reunited. We're resurrected. We're renewed. And not only we ourselves, but the universe itself is restored to what it would have been if sin had never entered the world. In other words, we look forward to a new heaven and a new earth, no more death, mourning, crying, or pain. God himself will live with us. We will be his people, and he will be our God. And then he'll wipe every tear from our eyes. There'll be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain. So easy to read a testimony like this and forget the ramifications of one person coming to faith in Christ, coming out of a world religion that's absolutely bankrupt, into the Christian faith, which is beautiful, exhilarating, and ultimately has the only hope for humankind. And I do thank everyone that is a member of the ongoing Bible Answer Man support team, because you make it possible for us to do this broadcast, to touch lives not only for time, but certainly ultimately for eternity. A lot of you hanging on, we'll go right to the phone calls. First up is Steve. He's listening on Sirius XM 131 in Wisconsin. Hi, Steve.
Thank you, Hank, and I appreciate you taking my call.
My pleasure.
I, among any, consider you a master of discernment, which is why I'm going to ask you this next question. What do you believe is the purpose of the body of Christ?
Well, first of all, the fact that we are a body is significant. It's indicative of the fact that we have a head. Christ is the head, we are the body, and Christ is building his body. And ultimately, when we come to faith in Christ, we become part of a body. Therefore, we're never Lone Ranger Christians. We're always part of a community of faith. And as a community of faith, we worship God, we have oneness with one another, and ultimately we become a witness to the world as Christ builds his bride. So God has created humankind for fellowship, for relationship with him, and that is what our end is, relationship with God, and that comes through worship. And again, while that is done individually, the Christian church knows nothing about individualized Christianity. We only know something about being part of a community of faith, which is exemplified through communion. It is entered into through baptism, which is the first sign of obedience by which we express that we are one in testimony to the world, one with the body of Christ. And it is something that ultimately is expressed in corporate worship through prayer, praise, and the proclamation of the word. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Kendall, listening on Sirius XM 131 in South Dakota. Hi, Kendall.
Hello. Yeah, I listen to the Bible on CD, you know, when I'm driving, and, you know, several places in the New Testament it talks about, you know, no whoremonger will see the kingdom of God. I was wondering, what about pornography? You know, that seems like a pretty fine line there.
Well, remember that it's not people who sin that do not enter the kingdom of God. It's those who do not recognize that they are sinners, repent of their sin, and receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Which is to say, as a believer, you're still going to be a sinner. You're still going to fall. You're still going to slip. You're still going to slide. You're still going to have inconsistencies in your life. But as a believer, you recognize that you've been justified by Christ, and the Christ that justifies you is also sanctifying you, which is to say, daily conforming you to his image. So if you have a problem with pornography, you don't take it lightly. What you do is you seek accountability within the body of Christ so that you can overcome a sin which ultimately enslaves you to your own lust. Because pornography breaks the sacred bond of marriage, it tears apart the fabric of society, and when pornographic images are used to satisfy sexual desire, not only is a marriage partner defrauded, but you yourself are left empty because it is a vice that does not satisfy.
It seemed like it was almost an unforgivable thing there.
No, there is no such thing as an unforgivable sin. It's always a continuous, willful, ongoing rejection that becomes unforgivable. So it's never an act, it's a continuous action. So as long as you recognize that you're a sinner and you want to do it God's way, you have the promise that he will not only justify you, but he will sanctify you. But that doesn't help in isolation. That's why, as I was talking about in the first call, we're part of a body, the body of Christ, and we need one another, not only for accountability, but we need one another in general so that we can be a witness to the world and so that we ourselves can be sanctified through Christ working through others who are part of the body.
I was just kind of curious.
Well, it's a significant issue, but even the strongest addiction to pornography can be overcome, again, by taking practical steps to remove the temptation, by establishing, as I just mentioned, an accountability structure, and by putting on the full armor of God. And I think this is really critical, that we learn to put on the full armor of God. The covering described in Scripture as the full armor of God is an impenetrable barrier against which the fiery darts of the evil one are impotent. So when you're clothed in the covering, you're invincible. When you're not, you're merely pawns in the devil's malevolent schemes. Again, I've written a book on this. It's called The Covering, God's Plan to Protect You from Evil, and certainly pornography fits in that category. And it is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. I think it's really instructive, too, because a lot of people will say, I'm addicted to pornography, therefore I have the spirit of pornography, as though pornography is a demon, and if you have the demon expelled, you'll have the problem solved. That sounds like a magic bullet, and that's exactly what it is. It's a magic bullet. In other words, it doesn't exist. Ultimately, the solution to a problem like pornography is accountability within the body of Christ. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Rob, again, listening on Sirius XM 131, Oklahoma. Hi, Rob.
Hey, how you doing, Hank?
Good. How are you?
I am good. It's a pleasure to talk to you. I had a question about, I've been interacting with my grandmother over the last 7 years or so, and she's slowly declined with Alzheimer's. And I kind of just wondered if there's anything biblical or any literature or anything of your knowledge that you could tell me if the soul leaves the body in that state. Because it almost seems like she's not even there. She's not the person that I knew.
Well, I'm sorry to hear about this. These kinds of things are always difficult to deal with. We dealt with the same thing just recently with the death of my mother-in-law, and it was a very difficult thing to see, the deterioration of the body. And as that body deteriorates, there's a deterioration in the mental faculties as well, and that's a difficult thing to abide or to endure. But that's the whole issue with respect to the Christian worldview. In a Christian worldview, you don't have a peaceful way to come to terms with the suffering and the scourge of diseases like Alzheimer's or Parkinson's or other such maladies, cancer and the like. But you do have something far better, a way to overcome them through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that means that we too will rise immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. So the short answer to the question is no, the soul has not left the body. At death, the soul leaves the body. But when the body ceases to function well, the very thing that you just described happens. But again, that is the condition of a sinful humanity. We go through those stages, we go through those things, and it's difficult, but it gives us an even greater desire to reach people while their faculties are there, A, and B, to recognize that we will one day be restored. And hopefully...
Also what I'm wondering is, like, her mind is completely gone, but her body still acts. And acts out in anger, and it's just not her. So I'm wondering if she's being held accountable for her actions in that state.
Well, God takes every single converging factor into consideration, Rob, and we know that God is just. So for me to take an anecdote and try to ferret it out would be a very difficult thing to do. But we can say with certainty that in that process, the real issue now becomes you. How do you respond? And how are you shaped in the cauldron of this adversity? And ultimately, you have to leave the judgment up to the Lord. The Lord knows all converging factors, as I just mentioned. And ultimately, is this your grandmother?
Yes.
Yeah. If your grandmother's a believer, she is still covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. And, you know, when you're covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, it doesn't mean that you don't sin. It simply means that you are covered by the righteousness of Jesus Christ while yet a sinner. So we all struggle with sins in one way or another. That does not mean that we sin in a cavalier fashion, because with sin comes consequences. But it also underscores the fact that we're not in a position to ferret everything out. We know that Jesus Christ, the ultimate judge as well as the Savior, will do all things rightly. So we stand in the greatest size with every person who is born again, who is washed by the blood, who is covered by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. When we stand in that greatest size, we know that He will judge us rightly. And first of all, our salvation is based on His righteousness, not our own. And then, of course, there is a judgment of rewards. I've written about that in my book, Resurrection, available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. We'll be right back with more of the show.
The problem of evil has been a nagging dilemma for Christianity since the beginning. Today, popular atheists like Richard Dawkins, Christopher Hitchens, and others use it as a way of discrediting Christianity and eliminating the God of the Bible. William Dembski's book, The End of Christianity, embraces the challenge to formulate a theodicy that is both faithful to Christian orthodoxy and credible to the new mental environment. For your gift to the Christian Research Institute this month, we'll send you The End of Christianity, Finding a Good God in an Evil World by William Dembski. Order toll-free at 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast will return in a moment. The complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition by Hank Hanegraaff is the culmination of over 20 years of faithful study in answering questions on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With short, succinct answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith, the complete Bible Answer Book will give you confidence in what you believe and why you believe it. Written in Hank's concise, three-point, easy-to-memorize fashion, the Complete Bible Answer Book is an essential tool for the beginner as well as the seasoned apologist. Consider it your one-stop Christian apologetics handbook. When you become a Bible Answer Man support team member, we'll send you the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition as our way of saying thank you. Order for yourself, a friend, or get a personalized copy when you call 888-7000-CRI. Or go online to equip.org. Just as helmet lights assist miners to see into the depths of the earth to extract precious gold, there are now lights to help you mine the depths of God's Word. Continuing with the highly useful and memorable Hankronym flip chart series, Hank Hanegraaff introduces memorable keys to understanding what God has said. Lights on your path to reading the Bible for all it's worth. A pocket-sized laminated flip chart based on the acronym LIGHTS. God has spoken, and the Lights flip chart will give you the tools to know what God has said. Available from the Christian Research Institute as our way of saying thank you for your generous support. Request your copy today on the web at equip.org. That's equip.org. Or when you call our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. Have you ever been asked the question, if God is good, why is there so much evil and suffering in the world? As Christians, how should we respond to this question? In his book, The End of Christianity, Finding a Good God in an Evil World, Dr. William Dembski writes to make peace with three claims. God, by wisdom, created the world out of nothing. God exercises particular providence in the world. And all evil in the world ultimately traces back to human sin. In the process, Dembski brings the reader to a fresh understanding of what the end result of Christianity really means. The radical realignment of our thinking so that we see God's goodness in creation, despite the distorting effects of sin in our hearts and evil in the world. Order The End of Christianity from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. With the vast amount of information flooding the internet, how can you determine what's reliable? Well, equip.org is a safe haven with content you can trust, all designed to equip you to defend the faith and deepen your discernment skills. Search for articles, books, and videos, listen to the Bible Answer Man online, or a 3-minute Ask Hank program where Hank takes just a few minutes to answer Bible questions. You can also connect with us by signing up for our e-newsletter and receive special benefits. Don't founder in the sea of misinformation. Make equip.org your homepage today. Once again, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Hanegraaff.
I love what you just said, Randy. Do not flounder in a sea of misinformation, because that is precisely what happens if you don't have discernment skills. And again, that's one of the reasons that equip.org is a safe haven on the World Wide Web. It's another reason why you should stay connected with the Christian Research Institute through our e-newsletter. And if you've not signed up for the e-newsletter, do so today. Receive a free wristband. It says, "Because Truth Matters." And I always wear one, and I usually lose one at least every few days. Someone is asking me for the website. I just take the wristband off and give them the wristband. They have the website, and then I get another one. So you may want to get a bunch of these wristbands. They say, again, "Because Truth Matters," which is our moniker. It's our motto. It essentially means we do what we do because truth matters. And we live in a day where truth is so obscure and falsehood so established that unless you genuinely love truth, you cannot know it. We want you to have discernment skills so you don't get lost in a sea of misinformation. To sign up for the e-newsletter, go to equip.org, front page, and just click on the sign up today button on the front page. Again, that's at equip.org on the World Wide Web. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Jason. He's listening on the web in North Carolina. Hi, Jason.
Hi, Hank. Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure.
My call kind of hinges on what you spoke to earlier, talking about the spirit of pornography. But real fast, before I ask the question, I just wanted to give an endorsement to the Christian Research Journal. I got that when I signed up to be a part of the support team, and I expected it to be good, but I had no idea how in-depth the articles are. I mean, they're literally like research papers for me to study. I'm still studying from a few editions back an article that was written. It's a pretty amazing journal.
Well, thank you.
Yes. So my question is anger. You hear people talk about that kind of thing a lot, and obviously in the evangelical movement, and you hear people speak on it a lot. I'm just curious, what can we take from the Bible? I mean, there's the emotion of fear and anger and things like that, which I believe are natural. And then there's mental conditions, like you were speaking of. Someone can have a fear, a phobia that obviously might, or maybe it's not so obvious. I don't know. Is it a demon? I mean, can we think of it that way? If it's that way, then there is a magic bullet. And if you don't cure it, then you must not have really accepted or something to that effect. I mean, how do we discern those three things?
Yeah, well, it gets down to reading the Bible for all it's worth, or as I like to say, mining the Bible for all its wealth. If you ask about a spirit of fear, there's no such thing. Not in the sense of a demon that specializes in causing fear. In 1 Timothy 1:7, Paul says to Timothy, "God did not give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, of love, of self-discipline." And Timothy, therefore, should not lack confidence. And that's what Paul's telling him. Don't lack confidence. Your life should be characterized by power, love, self-control, not a spirit of fear. So this is not saying that a spirit of fear is a demon, as in a spirit that can trouble you or inhabit you. No, it is a condition of mind. It is a state of being. And we should not be anchored in that state of being, but rather anchored in self-confidence, because we're rooted and grounded in the one who not only spoke and the universe leapt into existence, but the one who died so that we might genuinely live with confidence and hope and power and an eternal purpose. So when you misunderstand the Bible in this regard, what happens? You do look for that magic bullet. You go to a deliverance session, and Christians are all too happy to accommodate you in that enterprise, and you have the spirit of fear cast out of you, and you think that you've really solved the problem when you haven't solved the problem at all. And you have the attendant benefit of thinking that it wasn't your fault to start with. It was the spirit that made you do it. So this is a wrong way of looking at things, and Paul is admonishing Timothy not to look at things like this, but rather to look at things in the sense in which they're intended. So Timothy is not misunderstanding at all what Paul is saying, nor is Paul misunderstanding Timothy's condition.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Hey, you got it. Thank you so much for your call. Back to the phone lines. Guy is next. He's listening on the web in Pennsylvania. Hi, Guy.
Hey, Hank, how are you?
I am good. Nice talking to you.
Nice talking to you again. I talked to you a couple times in January, and you really helped me out. I became a monthly supporter, and I just love the ministry that you have. I believe in it, and I'm always going to give to it, and I just want to thank you for it.
Oh, bless you.
Question. About 8 years ago, I was in Teen Challenge Ministries, and I was reading Joshua 10, 12, and 13. The sun stood still at Gibeon, and the moon at Ajalon, I think you pronounce it like that. I just wanted to know, like immediately, a light bulb went off my head. Is this where we got a leap year?
No, it is not. And again, you have to remember that at the base of this, you have phenomenological language. The sun does not stand still. We don't believe in a geocentric universe where the sun circles the earth, but rather a heliocentric universe in which the earth revolves around the sun. So the notion that the sun stood still and the moon stopped is not language that we should try to press in a literalistic fashion, because if we do, we'll end up with nonsense that doesn't correspond to reality as God has revealed that reality in the universe. And remember, God has placed us in such a way that we know things about the universe. We're in a flattened arm of a flattened spiral galaxy, and we're in exactly the perfect position to be able to see things in our universe, to discover things about our universe. So we're not left without any information about the universe that God created. But beyond that, let me say this, that there's no problem whatsoever in a biblical worldview looking at a passage like this and recognizing that the God who spoke and the universe leapt into existence is also a God who can create a miracle and create that miracle in such a way that there's no after effect. There's no problem for God. So we do open our minds when we encounter things like Joshua chapter 10. We open our minds to the possibilities that this could be explained in a natural way, but also could be explained in a supernatural way.
Okay, I took this literally when I read it, you know, and I figured, well, God probably, you know, superseded the natural laws just to, you know, to get Joshua, you know, while he was in battle, to win this, and that's how I took it, you know. But
and that's right, though. I mean, I think that's really good, Guy, because, look, here's the point of the passage. You have divine intervention. The text is not clear about the exact nature or form of that intervention, but one thing you know with absolute certainty, Yahweh, the God of Israel, saved his people from their enemies and glorified his holy, matchless name. That you know with certainty, and that is the point of the passage.
Okay. All right. So but it was a good thought, though, huh, Hank?
Yeah. And remember, there's no reason why we can't take this as a unique miracle.
Right.
But the other part of that equation is what I said at the very outset in answering the question. You have to take the language in the sense in which it's intended. We don't get mad at meteorologists because they say the sun rose at a particular time and it's going to set at a particular time. We don't say, how stupid. Don't they believe in heliocentrism? Don't they live in the 21st century? No, we realize the language for what it is, and we take it in the sense in which it's intended.
All right. I really appreciate you bringing light to it for me. And, you know, and I've listened to you on the web every day, and I got the Legacy Bible. I'm looking at it as we speak, and I love it. And I just again want to thank you so much for your ministry. It's helped me in my Christian walk so much.
Well, bless you, Guy, and this gives me a perfect opportunity before we go to the next caller to say that for your gift to the ministry of $100 or more, I'll send you a personalized copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition. And I'm mentioning this as frequently as I can because every single day I'm signing so many of them, people that are giving $100 or more or joining the monthly Bible Answer Man support team. When you do that, we also send you the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition personalized. And also, as Guy was just talking about, you can get the Legacy Study Bible personalized for a gift of $250 or more, or you can get a special leather-bound, numbered collector's edition of Christianity in Crisis 21st Century. Again, just incentives to give, to support this ministry, but also a way of equipping you in your walk of faith. I want to go back to the phone lines now, talk to Chris. He's listening on Sirius XM 131 in Allentown, Pennsylvania. Hi, Chris.
Hey, Hank, how are you? Just wanted to tell you I love a little small pocket edition of Bible Answer Man. Love it very much.
Thank you.
Real quickly, my son came back raised in a Christian home, and he came back with a question that I have a really difficult time answering, and I thought if anyone can, Hank, and I appreciate the opportunity. He asks me, before printing presses were invented, before the Bible was able to even be printed and get out there, all of humanity, whether existing now or past in Asia and all the other religions, you know, what exactly happens to those folks? Either is it just one of two options? Is it heaven, hell, or is there a third non-existent? And I guess that kind of ties into part B, which is also... you know, the whole notion of predestination and the elect, and, you know, how could a loving God create people that he knows already are going to go to hell or not exist?
Yeah, but remember, when you had your son, you knew with certainty that your son was going to experience pain. You knew with certainty that eventually your son was going to die, and yet you chose to have your son fully knowing that those things would happen. With respect to God, God created us in such a way that we had the ability to choose to love him or to choose to do otherwise. So God did not create evil, but he certainly created the potential for evil. But to your big question, the Bible tells us, and Paul speaking on Mars Hill in Athens, he says, from one man, God made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he determined the exact times set for them, the exact places where they should live. And he did this so that men might reach out for him and seek him, though he is not far from each one of us. Which is to say, no matter where you live on planet Earth, no matter when you lived on planet Earth, you all have light of creation. The heavens declare the glory of God. So when you see the universe around you, you know there's a God. You also have the knowledge of God imprinted on the tablet of your consciousness. Paul talks about that in Romans chapter 1 and Romans chapter 2. And we have the certainty that if we respond to light, we will be given more light. And Jesus made that plain when he was talking to Nicodemus. The problem was not that there wasn't enough light. As Jesus said to Nicodemus, men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. If you have the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, and I'm saying this only because I'm running into a hard break, I wrote about that in an entry called What Happens to a Person Who Has Never Heard of Jesus. The principles in that entry will answer your question thoroughly. We are coming to a station break. We'll be right back in just a few moments with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast and certainly more answer to your questions.
Probing today's religious movements, promoting doctrinal discernment and critical thinking, and providing reasons for faith and ethics. The Christian Research Journal is an award-winning magazine that no Christian should be without. Be prepared with the knowledge you need to defend the faith.
Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Stay tuned. The Bible Answer Man will be right back. With the vast amount of information flooding the internet, how can you determine what's true? How can you be certain that what you're viewing is reliable? Well, equip.org is a safe haven with content you can trust. Content that has been well researched and designed to deepen your discernment skills and help equip you to defend the faith. At equip.org, you can search articles, books, and videos, listen to the Bible Answer Man right from your computer, or listen to an Ask Hank program where Hank takes just a few minutes to answer important questions about the Bible and Christianity. You can also follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, read our blog, or receive special benefits by signing up for our weekly e-newsletter. Don't founder in the sea of misinformation. Make equip.org your homepage today. Again, the address is equip.org.
Investors are concerned that there's more bad news.
Calling for an end to U.S. military operations.
The world is glued to the news headlines, anxiously awaiting what the future holds. So it's up to believers in Christ to be prepared to give well-reasoned answers about what lies ahead, based on sound Bible doctrine.
That's why The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff is such a vital resource for your library. The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff covers today's most asked prophecy questions and reveals why answering them correctly matters so much in today's world. The Apocalypse Code will resolve many questions regarding the mysteries of the end times and help you give an informed answer for the hope that is in you. All you really need to know about understanding Revelation is what the rest of the Bible has to say. So order your copy of The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff, now available in softcover. To order, call 888-7000-CRI or look online at equip.org. Master the main and plain things of historic Christianity in minutes and remember them for a lifetime. Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine is a user-friendly guide to doctrines that form the dividing line between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of the cults using the hankronym DOCTRINE. D stands for Deity of Christ, O for Original Sin, C for Canon of Scripture, T for Trinity, R for Resurrection, I for Incarnation, N for New Creation, and E for Eschatology. To order Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine in an accessible, fully laminated, and easy-to-use flip chart that you can use to communicate boldly and confidently with precision and clarity, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to www.equip.org. That's equip.org. Theodicy, the defense of God's goodness and omnipotence in view of the existence of evil, is a problem many theologians and philosophers have undertaken to solve. Dr. William Dembski offers a fresh look at the problem of evil in his book, The End of Christianity, Finding a Good God in an Evil World. As our way of saying thank you for your generous support this month, we'd like to send you The End of Christianity by William Dembski. Simply call 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274, or go online to equip.org. Again, that's equip.org. We return now to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy, and I would be remiss if I did not add to your comments the fact that the end of Christianity, and by the way, there's sort of a twist in that title. That title doesn't mean what you think it might mean at first blush. Again, the subtitle explains it all, Finding a Good God in an Evil World. But what I love about this book is Bill Dembski demonstrates his ever-persistent willingness to follow evidence wherever it leads. On the one hand, he follows the scientific evidence pointing to a universe that's old. On the other hand, He follows scriptural evidence demonstrating natural disasters and animal death are consequences of the fall. So he's not saying, look, animal death preceding the fall is not a consequence of the fall. No, he's saying it is a consequence of the fall. What you'll find in the book is an astonishingly accessible exploration of science, philosophy, theology, in which William Dembski harmonizes the paradigms while bringing healing to the process. His insights, I write on the back of the book, may well prove to be a Copernican breakthrough, because it takes seriously the fact that Adam's sin accounts for all evil, accounts for all moral evil, accounts for all natural evil. It flat counts for all evil. And there's no obfuscation here, as though he's saying, well, nature, red in tooth and claw, was very good. No, he bites the bullet. He realizes that it is not very good. It's an incredible book. It is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. I love what Chuck Colson said. He says, the pernicious problem of pain and evil that atheists and agnostics refer to as an excuse for not believing in God, well, Bill Dembski clears away the stumbling block and offers readers an original way of dealing with the problem that fits with an orthodox view of God's good creation and, of course, fits with the scientific facts. The book is available for your gift to the ongoing support of the Christian Research Institute. And I got to tell you, we took a big leap of faith here, trusting that people would give generously, because it's a $22.99 book. It's a hardcover book. It's a beautiful book. But we wanted to put it into people's hands as our way of saying thank you. So again, we're trusting that people will be generous. The End of Christianity, Finding a Good God in an Evil World, available for your gift. Check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org, or you can write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. As always, resource consultant standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Bill. Bill is listening on Bot Radio in Omaha, Nebraska. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Hank. I want to thank you very much for your ministry, and I've spent many hours on the road listening, so it's been a real pleasure.
Well, bless you.
The opportunity to hear an interview between Robert Schuller and Billy Graham, who I respect very much for what he's done for the kingdom of God. In the interview, he seems to allude to the fact that there will be many people in heaven who has not proclaimed the name of Christ, but has earnestly seek a higher power. And it left me very confused. I'm wondering if you've seen that or you have any insight.
Yeah, well, a couple of things that I would say with respect to Billy Graham. I have certainly followed his ministry over the years. He's an icon in the Christian world. And therefore, I think that you have to take the totality of his ministry into consideration whenever you answer a question like that. Which is to say, if you listen to him and his preaching on hell, for example, you know immediately he's not preaching some kind of a universalist gospel. So in charity, you have to take him in context. You have to take the totality of his ministry and recognize that the context of his ministry precludes the notion that he is a universalist. There may be some things which he has a difficulty explaining or reconciling or communicating. There may also be times in which you have a difficult time communicating in a particular circumstance. I mean, I can confess that there are times that my brain and my mouth are not in sync. It just happens. That's the human condition. But people listening to the entirety of my ministry know precisely what I stand for, and if I slip up and I say something I didn't intend to say, or I don't think something through as clearly in the moment as I should have, people take my whole ministry, my theology in context, they look at my books, they then treat me in a charitable way. And I think we should do the same thing with Billy Graham, recognizing that he has always taught that people are sinners. As sinners, they're separated from God. The solution is to repent. and to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. Now, certainly, we have to recognize the reality that there are people in the world that may not have the same ability to enunciate their faith as we do. And I think in that sense, it's fair to say it's not the absence of truth that damns. It's always the despising of truth that damns. And that's one of the answers I gave just before the break. Now, that's what Jesus Christ himself was saying to Nicodemus. Light came into darkness, but men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. We have the assurance that if people search after light, God will give them light. He's not capricious. He's not hiding on us. Therefore, if we respond to the light of creation, if we respond to the light of conscience, Christ will become real to us. There are people, however, that simply can't put all the lettering together in a sequence. I know people who even in our culture, who have heard the gospel, who can't quite articulate it well, but I have no doubt that they love Jesus Christ and that they have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I don't think that the relationship ultimately is dependent on how well you can articulate or put everything together. It is a desire to follow Jesus Christ. It is a desire to know him through creation. It is a desire to know him as he's revealed to himself to us on the tablet of our consciousness, which will lead to the light of Christ. And then we embrace Christ, and Christ becomes Lord and Savior of our life. So again, light always points to light. Creation, conscience points to Christ. And Paul lays this out actually very sequentially and beautifully in Romans chapter 1, 2, and 3.
Well, I appreciate that, and continue the good work.
Thank you very much, Bill.
All right.
God bless you. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to David. David is listening in Overland Park, Kansas on KCCV. Hi, David.
Good afternoon, Hank. It's a pleasure to speak with you.
Likewise.
The question I've been struggling with for a little while is understanding the origin of evil and how long it existed. I know God did not create evil, and God cannot abide evil. But when Lucifer said, "I will be like God, I will ascend to the Most High, and I will, where did that pride come from? Has there always been a good and evil in the, I don't want to say in time, because in our finite minds it's hard to comprehend, you know, anything for all eternity, but where did evil really come from, if that makes sense?
Yeah, it does make sense, and you articulated the question very well. Here's the deal. God creates the potential for evil. So if you ask where evil came from, it came as a result of choice. So Lucifer has the same opportunity that Adam and Eve have. He has the opportunity to love and worship and serve God, or he has the opportunity to say, I will be the center of my solar system. I will be the one who receives praise. I will turn myself inward. I will praise myself and created things, as opposed to worshiping and honoring God. As a result of what Satan did, evil is now actualized. So what God created as potential because he gave choice is now actualized by one of the creatures that God created. The same thing now happens in terms of the fall on earth. Adam and Eve have the opportunity to do it God's way or to do it their own way. They choose the latter choice and as a result actualize evil. And as federal head of the human race, all of humanity, the creation itself, is cast into a state of perpetual sin, terminated by death. And the beauty, of course, is from a biblical perspective, is out of this comes the best of all possible worlds, a world in which we are forever able not to sin.
Okay. Well, following up on that, and this is maybe an odd question, do you think there would be the potential after, you know, after Satan's cast in the bottomless pit forever and ever, if that free will, the choice of free will still exists after that, is there a possible a possibility that this could repeat itself.
No possibility whatsoever. And here's the point that we have to recognize. If you right now love Jesus Christ, you are his and he is yours. And every day you get to know him more, your relationship is strengthened and developed. And that relationship becomes ever more poignant and powerful. Imagine as that increases in this life, what it will be like when you are face to face, as it were, with your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Will you love him less or will you love him more? The answer is the more you get to know him, the more you will love him. So you'll continue to learn and develop and grow, but without error. And remember what happens when Jesus Christ returns as well. The problem of sin and Satan are forever dispensed with. So we will, in that circumstance, we will be actualized in our choices and we will grow in the choice to love and honor and worship our Savior.
Okay.
Make sense?
Yeah, certainly. Well, I mean, there's still some lingering questions, but yes, it does make sense. It's something I got to think about more and do some more research, I guess. So I trust you and I believe you completely. I really do respect and honor you know, what you do here. And, you know, when you speak, believe you. So.
But I love what you just said, David, and I think that's a good instruction for everybody listening in. You're not just going to take what I say. You're going to research. You're going to do some more digging because, you know, ultimately I'm not the authority. I'm certainly accountable for what I say, and I take what I say very seriously, so I'm not cavalier in the least. But people should test all things, hold fast to that which is good. And what you find out with these kinds of issues are there are tangential strings that pop out, and you want answers. You want to be able to tie up those strings, and that's part of the learning process. So I love the fact that you said you're going to keep digging, you're going to keep checking it out, you're going to keep learning, and you're going to test all things. That's what we're called to do as believers.
Well, thank you, Hank, and God bless you.
God bless you. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to stay in studio today for an extra hour once we go off the air. So many of you hanging on, so many of you calling in. We'll continue taking your calls right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, and I'll play my answers to your questions on a future edition when I'm traveling or incapacitated or something like that. Anyway, here's what you can do. You can dial right now and ask your question, 888-ASK-HANK. You can call that number for the next hour. Ask your questions. I'll be here for the next hour to answer those questions when you dial 888-ASK-HANK. Thanks again for tuning in. We'll see you next time with more.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man. If you've been blessed by the broadcast and want more information to help you grow in your walk with God, just go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. To contact a resource consultant, call 888-7000-274, or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is furnished by the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because truth matters. Have you ever been asked the question, if God is good, why is there so much evil and suffering in the world? As Christians, how should we respond to this question? In his book, The End of Christianity, Finding a Good God in an Evil World, Dr. William Dembski writes to make peace with three claims. God, by wisdom, created the world out of nothing. God exercises particular providence in the world. And all evil in the world ultimately traces back to human sin. In the process, Dembski brings the reader to a fresh understanding of what the end result of Christianity really means, the radical realignment of our thinking so that we see God's goodness in creation, despite the distorting effects of sin in our hearts and evil in the world. Order The End of Christianity from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.
Now more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal.
New monasticism is a movement of young Christians abandoning the comforts of upper and middle class life and relocating into communes to cultivate social reforms. There are many positive aspects to the new monastic movement. However, their hope of imagining new ways to express the authentic church will come to ruin unless they remain faithful to the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. Find out more in Warren Nozaki's article entitled The New Monasticism, A Quest for Spiritual Renewal in the Urban Desert. Other topics include compassionate adoption for the most helpless, the Christian citizen, the popular Ask Hank column, and much more.
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI, or go online to equip.org.